Skagway gets left out as the Department of Transportation scrambles to accommodate ferry riding lawmakers. And a Haines man was arrested last week following an FBI investigation and is accused of helping to distribute methamphetamine. And Alaska health officials are frustrated by misinformation around COVID-19. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Mike Swayze. Those stories are up next. Last week, the State Department of Transportation quietly removed sailings of their lone ferry to the Upper Lynn Canal next month after discovering additional steelwork is needed on the vessel. But after adding a sailing to Haines to accommodate lawmakers traveling to Juneau for the January legislative session, Skagway is left high and dry. Questions remain as to whether the state prioritized lawmakers over taxpayers. Late last week, the Alaska Marine Highway removed the Matanuska from its calendar for several weeks after the new year. This week, they announced the Kennecott will sail as far north as Haines on January 12th to cover the early January mainliner duties that the Matanuska will miss. But it will not call on Skagway. AMHS also announced the LeConte will add 3 sailings to Haines and Skagway during the first week of January, but nothing past January 8th. Alaska Marine Highway spokesperson Sam Dapsovich cited a crew shortage for the reason not to activate the Taslina, which has been sitting idle in Juneau's Auk Bay Terminal. But union representatives for the Alaska Marine Highway crew say they have members ready to work.
I'm not sure why you were told that there was this lack of crew. I mean, the Matanuska's tied up. People are laid off. They're sitting on the beach.
That's Erling Wally, regional director of the Inland Boatmen's Union of the Pacific, the largest of the 3 unions representing state ferry workers. Wally says there are workarounds available that would shorten the winter gap between sailings to Skagway.
That was our other question to the state was, well, why can't we just keep the Lakani running until the Matanuska can come out?
Shannon Adamson heads the Masters, Mates, and Pilots, which represents deck officers on the Marine Highway. She says it's curious that DOT is claiming a shortage of crew since her union wasn't consulted about its members' availability.
At all. We haven't been contacted by the state about any of the issues that are currently occurring in the villages and North Lynn Canal.
The LeConte is certified until April, ferry union reps argue, and it already has a crew. But calls to Dapsovich with follow-up questions went unanswered on Tuesday. Meanwhile, more questions remain regarding the use of the Kennecott to fill in for the Matanuska on the mainliner run that reaches as far north as Haines on January 12th. Skagway Mayor Andrew Cromata says it appears there's a double standard at work, with the state prioritizing elected officials over ordinary people.
Why is it so easy to pivot quickly to get a ferry up to Haines for legislators and impossible to get a ferry to Skagway that services the needs of a community that are desperate to be able to get where they need to go, whether it be the doctor or a grocery store visit or for a much needed vacation?
And yet there are other possible solutions, including the Alaska class ferry, the Taslina, and the mainliner Columbia. Both ships are tied up for cost cutting or lack of certificates or both. Over the weekend, Dunleavy's office announced a plan it says would re-energize the Alaska Marine Highway system. The report says the Tustamina would be replaced in 5 years to serve Southwest routes, and an idle Alaska-class ferry, the Hubbard, built for $60 million as a solution for Northern Lynn Canal communities but was never used, would be outfitted with crew quarters to extend its range at a cost of more than $15 million. The governor's report says the Hubbard will be deployed to Prince William Sound and possibly some Southeast Alaska communities, but there was no mention of the Upper Lynn Canal. A Haines man faces federal prison time after being arrested on drug charges on Prince of Wales Island. As KHNS's Corinne Smith reports, federal prosecutors allege the 62-year-old man was helping to distribute methamphetamine.
62-year-old Frederick Folletti was arrested in the island community of Craig by Alaska state troopers without incident on December 3rd. That's based on federal charges in a 2-page indictment unsealed on November 19th. FBI spokesperson Chloe Martin in Anchorage says Folletti was picked up on a no-bail federal warrant for 1 count of drug conspiracy following an FBI investigation. The federal indictment alleges that sometime last year, between October and early November of 2020, Folletti conspired with others, named and unnamed, to distribute and to possess with the intent to distribute 50 grams or more of methamphetamine. The Haynes man has been indicted by a federal grand jury on one count of drug conspiracy. The federal charge is a broad term and requires proof from the prosecution that there was an agreement between two or more parties to break a federal drug law, and the parties knowingly agreed. None of the other alleged co-conspirators were named in federal court documents. If convicted, Folletti could face a minimum of 10 years in federal prison and maximum of a life sentence. As of Tuesday, Folletti is temporarily being held at the Ketchikan Correctional Center and will soon be transferred to the Lemon Creek Correctional Facility in Juneau, according to FBI spokesperson Chloe Martin. He is being represented by federal public defender Jane Imholt and due to appear in court on Thursday afternoon before Judge Matthew McCrary Scoble to enter a plea. In Haines, I'm Corinne Smith.
Healthcare professionals in Alaska are frustrated by the abundance of misinformation about COVID-19 prevention and treatment circulating online. For more on the story, here's KHNS's Corinne Smith.
Some patients continue to request unproven treatments like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. Medical experts say these drugs and others can harm patients. Dr. Tom Quimby is the director of Matsu Regional Medical Center's emergency department. Speaking on Talk of Alaska Tuesday, he said randomized trials and proper data collection is the only way to prove treatments work. But so far, trials for ivermectin have not shown any benefit for treating COVID.
We know most people that get COVID will recover and will do fine. And so the challenge with that is I could tell 10 people coming into, you know, an outpatient office with COVID to put ketchup on their earlobes, and statistically, they're going to get better. And likely, they'll attribute whatever they did to them getting better. But we already established that most people are going to get better.
Quimby says these drugs distract from treatments that actually work. It can take up valuable time when doctors are trying to care for a patient while they or their family members demand unproven treatments. More than 100 doctors signed a letter last month asking the state medical board to investigate COVID misinformation, including Dr. Robin Neinfeld, a family physician with a background in epidemiology. She says the misinformation is fueling fear and conspiracy theories that add to an increase in confrontations with patients and the public.
We honestly want our patients and our state to do well, to thrive. And we're doing our best. But when people call us, for instance, I was called a murderer when I spoke at the assembly. I'm not a murderer. None of my colleagues are murderers. We're doing our very best to keep you healthy.
According to the State Department of Health's dashboard, 56% of Alaskans age 5 and above are fully vaccinated. In the Haynesboro, it's 68%, and in Skagway, it's 74%.
For KHNS News, I'm Mike Swayze. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org. You can also subscribe to or follow KHNS News anywhere you get your podcasts.